And Pam and the other woman that came to visit, her name was Pam. And they walk up to these two young boys. And the one has a hoodie and some kind of demonic, I think, thing on his shirt. Black. I don't even know if he knows what it is. He's just wearing the T-shirt. And then a shorter kid with longer hair. And they just felt like they were supposed to do this. You know, kind of one of those kids that people stay away from, the dark. And they began to ask them if they wanted prayer for anything. And they said, yeah, we're looking for a synthesizer player, someone that can play a keyboard. We've got a band. We want to start a band. And so they said, sure, God wants to give you the desires of your heart. So they start praying that they would find a synthesizer player that could join their band and then for Hot Chicks. And just, and I know it was so, and Pam's ministering about their value and their worth. And oh yeah, that if it was a girl, she'd be pretty. Oh, that's what it was. If it was a girl synthesizer player, she'd be pretty. So later, we walk up, we encounter them again. We were at the mall, and they told Pam and Pam that you said last night that they said, well, God, you know, they prayed for us, so we'll ask this person. I thought I heard him say they asked the person, and then they went, hey, they prayed for us. I think that's what they said. They ran into a person, and I heard him say that the short kid said to the taller kid, the tall kid said, you know what? They prayed for us. They ran into a kid that played the piano, the keyboard, and he's going to try out for their band. And so these kids were so happy, and Pam and Pam were just talking about how much God loves them, that it was a God incident, not a coincidence. And we just watched them, and I'm looking at the love, and we went to the restaurant, and Kurt and Pam give away stuff, and Pam's been making stuff for Easter, and we had a male waiter, and so he didn't want to give a rose sucker to him. So he said, hey, go pick out your favorite waitress and tell her to come back. We've got something for her. So she comes back. They talk about, Kurt asks why she was the favorite, and there was just something between, you know, just a friendship between these two. I can't remember what she said, but Kurt said, is there anything that we can pray for you for? She went, yeah, I've been trying for 2 years to get pregnant. Dan jumps out of his seat. We're like, yeah, we've got victory in this area. And he began, and we all began to pray that she would get pregnant. In the meantime, her manager come in, was standing back, and I looked at her, and I said, you know, come up, and wondered if she would be upset that we were taking her time, but she didn't. She was excited about the fact that we cared enough to pray for her. We prayed for her and blessed her, and she was blessed, and I'm believing that she's going to get pregnant. Yeah, her name was Faith on top of it. Go figure. Can you imagine this day? And Dan talked to different ones, and we just had this encounter. So this morning, as I got up, and I'm just tired, and I've coughed for now 2 months, going on three. In it, you know, sick and not sick. I don't get sick like this. I really don't. So this has kind of come in like a flood. And so, you know, Dan, I think, is 34, and I'm 58. I'm like, I'm tired. This is, he's up late. We're up late. We're up early. The time change comes, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, getting up, coming up. But I get into the prayer room. And this is what I want to talk to you guys about. I come up to the prayer room, and I start talking. I start talking to my Lord. And He begins to fill me with strength and light. And he begins to talk to me about something that is so strong on my heart lately. Last week, we had Jamie here. And you heard us testify that back in the prayer room, that as we're praying, the Lord gave me the scripture out of Psalms 1. Please turn there. Psalms 1. Now, I don't know how much this is going to make sense. I hope you can follow it because I did not prepare today. I just said to Rick, I know you're coughing a lot, and I think I've got a word for the church. Psalms 1 says this. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor does he sit in the path of the sinners. Stand in the path of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I said last week that I believed that the Lord sent Jamie. Jamie did a prophetic act before he came here. He was praying the Wednesday before he came. And the Lord said, don't sit down. He went to sit down. The Lord said, don't sit down. He's like, don't sit down. Don't sit down. He's like, all right. So he stands the whole time and he's praying. They're praying for the meeting here. It's like, why? And then he went, the only thing I can think was, don't sit in the seat of a scoffer. So when we were back in the room, I began to pray and I'd asked the Lord what I was supposed to read, what scripture I was supposed to read before church. And this scripture came up. Don't sit in the seat of the scoffer. And I began to speak that in prayer and speak the word. And he went, what? Why'd you say that? I said, I don't know. The Lord just told me to. He said, this is what happened to me as I was praying for this meeting that Wednesday night. And as he was speaking, what I saw when he was speaking was, and I can't describe what I saw. I'm a little more of a seer, so I can't describe to you, but I hope you can understand. He's standing here, and the Lord said, you see him? He is a prophet, and I had him do a prophetic act for this church. That we would stop sitting in the seat of scoffing. What does that mean? That we stop saying, it's not true. That we stop saying, God doesn't heal, doesn't take care of my finances. I'm not forgiven. I'm not doing well. Is he ever going to answer me? Does he love me? That is a scoffer. That is one that listens to the lies. He sits in the seat and the enemy comes and just fills him with lies. The word says, don't take counsel from the wicked. Don't watch TV shows or listen to something that's the wicked. The gospel, the kingdom is upside down. You want to get? Give. You want to be blessed? Blessed. You want to have greatness? Go low, is what the Bible said. Be humble. Get low. Serve. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you've got to serve in the kingdom. Okay? And so when we listen to the world says, take it. Stand up for yourself. Tell them what you think. It doesn't mean that we just get dumped on all the time. There's boundaries, and I understand that, so please don't go to the other extreme. But the counsel of the wicked is your number one. And if you don't take it, nobody's going to give it to you. That is so totally not the kingdom. So the word says, don't take counsel from the wicked. Don't stand in the path of a sinner. Don't place yourself in a place where you will sin, where you will fall, where you will be tempted to do the things against the word of God, because sin leads to death. It's just true. Don't put yourself in that place. And then the third thing, don't sit in the seat of a scoffer. God's not going to answer me. He doesn't care for me. He doesn't love me. I was thinking before I came in, and when this was coming, I said, the Lord again reminded me of this. And he said, Phyllis, I want you to repent. I want you to repent in the areas you're still scoffing in. And then he said, Phyllis, I'm not talking about feeling bad. I'm talking about change what you think. Do not. I don't want to see you feeling bad. What I do want to see you doing is going, I don't care, Satan, what you tell me. I don't care what it looks like. He loves me. So I gave that word. We were listening, Pam and I were listening to that song. What does love look like? Is the question that she's asking. And she said, then he showed me what he saw, what she saw, is she saw him hanging on the tree, arms wide open, a heart that was exposed. Now, a question is, does God love you? Turn with me to Romans 8. Got to find this. Romans 8:32. I'm going to ask you when this is over with. So I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. I'm going to ask you. I believe that the Holy Spirit was saying, I want you to ask the church if they'll repent. He says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? If he did not spare his son, how will he not give us all things? Here's the problem. We go through trials. Jesus said that we're going to go through trials. He said, in fact, he said this, please stop, you know, if I can use Trent words, please stop. Please stop thinking about tomorrow and its troubles, because today has enough troubles and you don't need to be thinking about tomorrow's. It'll take care of itself. That's what he said. So can I ask you, are you going to have troubles? Let me ask you again. Are you going to have troubles? No, let me hear it. Are you going to have troubles? Does that mean he doesn't love you? He told you ahead of time, you're going to have troubles, but you're going to be delivered. The word says that I had this down and I can't think of it right now. Many, many are the affliction of the righteous, but he delivers them out of all. Now, in this same chapter, it says, who can separate you? Who can separate you from his love? Can principalities and powers and things present or things to come or angels, who can separate you from the love of God? Not past, not what you did, not present, not what you're going to do. No one except one person. You. I said to Kathy, I think it was with you, Kathy, that I said we are, said to somebody, we are the ark. I think I said it to you guys, maybe I said it to the whole group, and I think Kathy looked at me a little weird. That's why I thought of Kathy. Listen, God had the Israelites on Mount Sinai. He brought Moses up, and he formed an ark. He said, go down, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make an ark. And in the presence of the ark is where God abided. There was the outer courts, the inner courts, and the Holy of Holies. The high priest could only go once a year into the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. They say that when the presence fell, that it was something to behold. Okay? It was something to behold. I want to say to you, you are the ark of the covenant. You house the very presence of God. It is the mystery of all ages, Christ within, the hope of glory. But I also want to say, which I saw as I was worshiping and praying about this word, that there are curtains up, unbelief up, mindsets up that separate us from the truth of who abides within us. And it's time, through repentance, through changing the way we think, to tear down those walls. I find it's interesting that the Lord gives me this word in the middle of me sounding like this and coughing my head off, although I haven't right now. But isn't it interesting that he's saying to me, will you still proclaim and believe? Because I believe the strongholds that keep me from being sick is not him, it's me. And unbelief. And the Lord is calling us to believe. What do? We change our mind. Romans 12, turn there. Says this, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Can I tell you, if you're not renewing your mind, if you're not bringing yourself before the Lord and before the fire of his eyes, before his presence, if you're not sitting, if you're not being reminded that he lives within you and that the power that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you, you're not going to be powerful. And what happens is we have a dead religion and we talk about who Jesus is, but let me tell you this, if you're not renewing your mind, if you're not standing before his light, that can only be the thing that changes you, you're going to doubt. You're going to be a scoffer. Because what's going to happen is you're going to pray he doesn't do something, and you're going to go, I've done that before. He doesn't answer. I've done that. I've said, hey, hey, will you heal me? Huh, I guess he didn't. And we walk away. And so I present this to you. I present this in a, not in a condemnation way. Please don't take that. I just feel that the Lord is saying, listen, this area is full of scoffers. This area doesn't believe that God loves them. that he's a good father, that he's a good dad, that he's for them. They believe he doesn't care. He's out there. But Jesus took 12.
12? Put the 12? How's that?
Disciples. They believed. And the Lord said this morning to me, if you guys will just believe, present yourself a living sacrifice, listen to me. You cannot expect to be changed at least 5-15 minutes a day if you don't present yourself before the Word, meditate on it, and before His fire. I've been wanting, you hear me do it? I'm going to do it again. I've been wanting to go, listen, church. It is so vital that you stand in the light of His face. It is so vital. And turn with me to Numbers. I'm going to go over this and over it every time I get a chance. Turn with me, Numbers 6:24. This is not just a sweet prayer. It has power. The Lord bless you and keep you. God says, hey, Moses, you speak this over my people. The Lord bless you. What does bless mean? To invoke God's favor. I say to you, the Lord invoke his favor on you. The Lord make his face shine on you. Joellen is right now sitting in front of the sun. If she were to sit there and put her forehead in front of it, she would receive what she needs for her body to have endorphins released, for her to have a positive outlook, for her to feel good, to put off vitamin D, to strengthen her. Just that light. If it happens in the physical, how much more in the supernatural? First the physical, then the supernatural. So the Lord calls us, make your face, Father, I stand in the light of your face, shine on me. You do not have to do anything else but believe. What does Jesus say? Here's my commandment. Believe on the one he sent. This is a new commandment in John. It says, believe on the one he sent. Place yourself before his throne. 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day. Place yourself there. Envision his eyes. Envision the light and just say, I stand in your presence. Only a foolish man will not do that. Because they think they're good. They think they can do this on their own. And then all at once they find himself in problems. And wonder why. Then he goes on and says, and be gracious. Father, the New Testament says this, that we come, we have access to the throne. What for? Why do we have access to the throne? The Bible says we have access to the throne so that you can go in and receive. Receive, it's the key. Receive grace and mercy for that day. Receive it. Bring it into yourself. Then he says, lift, may the Lord lift up. This is God speaking. I think it's so awesome. He's going, hey, I want you to pray this over the people so that they'll do this because this is my desire for them. The Lord lift up his countenance on you. What does it mean to lift up your countenance? It's like I'm looking at Jesse right now. It'd be like me going, ah, Jesse, you're so neat. I just love you. My countenance is for her, and she can feel that. God says, hey, I want you to know I'm for you. I want you to know that I'm for you. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I'm for you. And yes, things will happen, but I'm for you. And I want to give you peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And I love what Jamie said. Or somebody just said it. If you don't understand it, I think it was Tim Hacker. If you're in this situation and you've got peace and it doesn't make sense why you've got peace, it's that. Peace that goes beyond understanding, because you shouldn't have peace. It's supernatural. We're supernatural. And so I'm listening to these people that's coming. The Lord is bringing. He's bringing to fire us up because we have a job to do. We are called to bring light to this darkness, to bring hope to the hopeless. I'm going to read something to you. I wasn't going to read the whole thing, but I think it would be neat. Listen to this. Two kids. One girl is Helen and the other Josie. Is that how you say it? Helen is 8. Josie is 7. This is a real dialogue between them. Mom's coming home. They've been at the grocery store for 60 minutes, for about an hour. And so Helen is acting like she's going to die. She is so thirsty. Okay? And so Helen picks up this sanitizer and says, while licking her lips, "This looks good enough to drink." And Josie replies, "Helen, we read the side. It has the ingredients." Helen says, "It says keep out of reach of children." Josie, smart aleck, says, "And you are a child." And Helen says, "You are too." And Josie says, "Nuh-uh, I'm a grown man." They said, we all chuckled, made fun of Josie. Then Helen antagonizes, "Well, you're a little baby." Josie pouts, "I'm not a baby. You're still in mom's belly." Helen replies, "Mom and dad aren't even married." Isn't this cool? I mean, this is so typical. Josie says, "Grandma isn't even born. Mom isn't even born." Then Helen says, "Grandma isn't even born." Josie says, "Mother? Mother isn't even born." Helen, "Mother's great, 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 great grandmother isn't even born." There had to be 5 greats. I hope I got it. Or Helen will be upset. Josie, "Adam and Eve aren't even born." We'll really pull this one. We'll go to the beginning. Let's not argue about born versus created, folks. I can hear it coming. Then it gets quiet, and Josie whispers, "Maybe we're all just a dream of God." Long contemplative pause. "Helen?" This makes me want to cry. "Do you think God daydreams?" Helen giggles and says, "No." Josie smarts back, "But how do you know you are just a dream?" Does God daydream? Does he? I'm sitting in the prayer room and I said, "Do you daydream? Because if you do, you daydreamed about me. And all that I can do, because I love you and you love me." And I've been talking to you guys in the morning. In Revelations 19, it says, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And when you get into his presence, he wants to tell you what he daydreams about you. He wants to tell you what you can accomplish if you dream with him, if you believe what he says about you and not what the enemy says about you. He daydreams about you. I went, what a word. What a word. What a word. What does he say, Alan, about you? Does he see you walking out on the streets healing the sick? What does he say about you, Tom? You're going to be in authority? Kelly, what does he say? Is he dreaming about the fact that when you go into the homes, that your prayers can heal the sick or give that old person hope? Kathy and Sean, when you're in the hospital and someone comes in so distraught, what does he dream? What does he dream about you? What does he dream? Prophecies have come about you. That's what he dreams. Get them out. Find out what he says about you. It's his daydream. It's his dream of what you can be. He dreams about this church becoming a light on the hill, bringing in those that are in darkness and releasing them. He dreams about healing coming through you because the enemy has tormented and destroyed. He dreams about the person that is sitting there and they're so distraught that they want to commit suicide. And he dreams of the person that will walk in and go, my God loves you. You have too much value. He dreams of the person that will stand and believe he is who he is and will let him work through them and be the Ark of the Covenant, where glory goes wherever you go. You know, as I speak that, I know that some are just like, yeah, that seems like a dream. But it's reality if we will dream and believe what he dreams about us. So this morning, I hear the Lord saying, will you ask the people simply this, if they will repent for not believing in me? And you say, well, I believe in him. Check out, what do you really believe? Because I think there's areas that you really don't. There's areas that you go, would he really use me to reach the lost, to pray for the sick, to be able to give money to the poor, to be able to bring peace to a situation that seems like there's no peace. So, will you stand with me? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Actually, I'm not. Maybe. I don't know what I'm going to do. Let's see. I'm going to listen to see what the Lord wants me to do. Because I saw something. I want you to, and I know you hate this, but oh well, you know. I told the Lord whatever he said I would do, and I would obey. And when we were talking about this, I saw us. And please, husband and wife, split up. I mean that, you know, I really do. Because sometimes you have more faith for the person outside of your home than you do in. And we want faith to be released today. So I want you to find someone. And I want you to tell them, if you need to repent for some area that you're not believing God in, and then ask them to pray for you, and then vice versa. And then this time, and again, I want you to realize that you repentance is just changing the way you think. So if you don't think you can be used, or you don't think you're loved, or you don't think you're forgiven, or you don't think God's listening to you. I don't care what it is. If that thought keeps hitting you, I want you to look at a person and say, you know what? I need to repent because I'm not believing. And then just, you don't have to confess your whole life story. You don't have to confess all the areas. Just say, I need to repent. And then have that person pray over you. Why do I say this? Because a lot of times when we keep it hidden, it stays hidden. And we need to reveal and just be healed. God knows it. Who cares whether you know it or not? Because Jesus loves you anyways. We just want to get to a place where God is master of our universe. And that we quit doubting his love for us and his power and his goodness. And if you find that you have been scoffing for a long time, don't think you're going to get over it in a little bit of time. Just ask the Lord to change your mind every day. Change your mind. Nope. Nope. I repent. I change my mind. I'm going to believe today. And so the enemy comes and goes, really? You're going to believe today? And you go, yep. I make a choice, because changing your mind is just choosing to do something different. That's what repentance is. I change, I turn it and go, you know what? I'm going to believe you instead of me. Dan did something that just blessed the living daylights out of me. He was up here and he has a watch. I don't like to wear stuff, so I'm going to try this on my phone. He said every hour he has his clock set to beep. When it goes off, he goes, oh, Jesus, I just want to make myself aware of you. And then every half hour, he has it doing, what is it, every half hour? Yeah, again, to believe for what Jesus said. Sometimes we need little reminders, because Christ within wants to walk with you. The scripture says in in John 15, it says, hey, listen, guys, apart from me, you might as well forget it. You can't do anything. Oh, you might accomplish a little bit, but on the whole, you're nothing. You need me.